Last time on Jonathan Park and the Treasure of Shechem.
So column 3 of the original Copper Scroll mentions that several treasures are buried in Milham?
Right, Jonathan.
So we can assume that Shechem is in fact the city of Milham mentioned in the first scroll, which is what brought us here.
I could see the tomb right here on the map.
Joseph's tomb.
Oh, and look down here. To the southeast of the ruins, Jacob's well.
Yes. And here at the temple was a courtyard.
I think Shechem completely fits the description of Milham in the Copper Scroll.
So are we going to investigate the tomb?
I think it's the most clearly defined location in the scroll.
Let's get this ground-penetrating radar working and see if we can determine if there's a trap door underneath the tomb.
Hello, DNN Newsroom.
Hello, my name's Micah Richardson, and I'm calling with a news story for you.
I've been reviewing the GPR scans we were able to make of the tomb. It certainly appears there's no trapdoor underneath.
Well, how can that be? The Copper Scroll said there'd be one.
If the temple treasure lies here in Shechem, I fear these artifacts will end up in wrong hands.
Then, my dear brother Shimon, time to call in our brotherhood.
And now, part two of Jonathan Park and the Treasure of Shechem.
Are you feeling okay?
Just a little nervous.
You'll do fine. And thank you for flying all the way from Israel.
It's worth it.
Going live in 3, 2, 1.
DNN News. Relevant stories from us to you right now.
Welcome back. I'm Chad Barker.
And I'm Lindsay Lamont. It seems as if the whole world's watching as a team led by Dr. Ian Dawson pursues ancient clues to a massive treasure left behind on a copper scroll. Many of us are anxiously waiting their next great discovery.
But it seems not everyone's excited about their work. Joining us live here in the studio is Micah Richards, former partner of Dawson's. Micah, welcome.
Great to be here, Chad.
You and many other colleagues are questioning Dawson's work.
Lindsay, the problem's he's not verifying his discoveries. And I believe he's doing some serious damage to the cause of archaeology.
So are you saying the discoveries are not legitimate?
Well, that's just it. We don't know. Take, for example, the Egyptian hieroglyphics found in the cave of Qumran. Could it really be that experts investigating the cave for years never saw that before? Further, Egyptian characters depicting ochre seem completely out of place at that site.
Maybe that's what's making Dawson so successful. He's finding things that others haven't.
Maybe, but the parchment at Qumran Community appeared out of the blue. And nobody can verify it because it's in his possession.
Now, Dawson's teamed up with the Creation Response Team, who, by the way, we all know for their discovery of the Polar Star treasure.
Yes, but again, they're not trained archaeologists. While they may have great intentions, I feel they've hooked up with someone who's led them down a dead end.
So you question Dawson's motives?
I've never known him to be intentionally deceitful. But it is interesting to note that his organization has taken in more money than just about any other project of this sort.
You mentioned he's leading his team to a dead end. Are you predicting that he won't find the treasure?
I'm saying that it'll be the true test of his work.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you again for having me.
And with that, all of us will be keeping our eyes on the hunt for the treasure of the Copper Scroll. When we come back, we'll hear about a fireman who went up a tree on a rescue. But this time, it wasn't a cat. More when we come back.
This is DNN News.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Yep. Thank you. I'll be in touch.
Who was that?
It was my publicity team. I guess Micah was on DNN this morning.
Really questioned the legitimacy of our team.
That's too bad.
Well, bad press is better than no press, as they say. Let's not worry about negative press. We'll just keep moving forward.
It's a great idea to take a hike.
Yes. Thanks, Akiva, for arranging this. You know, tourists are no longer allowed up here.
Hopefully this will be a wonderful break to clear our minds and strategize a little.
Mount Gerizim and Ebal almost look like twins.
Oh, we sure have an amazing view of Shechem below us. Look how you can see the pass coming right up from Shechem right between Gerizim and Ebal. Jesse, can you imagine the 12 tribes of Israel passing between the two, not long after they entered the Promised Land?
Wow, being here helps me imagine it all.
Did you know the Israelites' journey to these mountains was commanded by Moses?
It was?
Yes, Moses had led the Israelites out of slavery. Then, after wandering the desert for 40 years, he gathered them together and commanded that when they enter the Promised Land, they should put a blessing upon Mount Gerizim.
Yeah, I was looking it up as you were talking. Deuteronomy 11:29, "And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal."
How excited they must have been to finally come here! The fulfillment of God's promise.
Joshua 8:30-31, "Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings." Then it goes on to say how Joshua read the law of Moses to the whole congregation gathered there.
In verse 33, it says that half the crowd was on one side, in front of Gerizim, and the other half was on the other side, in front of Ebal. Now look across at Ebal, and then look back here behind us. Do you see how these two hills form a natural amphitheater?
Oh yeah, there it is.
Yep. The Lord knew this would be the place where they could all hear. And since that time, expeditions like the one in 1879 have shown that someone standing in the right place really can be heard by those standing in the valley in front of Gerizim and Ebal.
We're standing in the right place. Do you think if someone was below, they could hear us?
No. Well, maybe. Jesse, I would imagine it's not quite the same with all the new buildings. But I suppose it might still echo a little.
So, Ian, what's our next step?
Well, we've investigated the tomb and the courtyard.
But there's still one location left that's mentioned in the Copper Scroll.
The well!
I agree.
But the Copper Scroll says it's found in a dry well. Is Jacob's well dry?
Well, Jonathan, it does run dry for months at a time. Maybe the treasure was hidden during a dry season.
Yeah, but the well's now located in the crypt of a monastery to the east part of Shechem. How will we be able to investigate the inside?
Well, I don't know, but I want to go tomorrow night, so Akiva, you'll need to come up with a plan.
Oi.
Can you still hear them?
Shh!
It is amazing that we can hear them from so far away.
It is a natural amphitheater of Gerizim and Ebal.
Now we know about their plans to go to the well tomorrow evening.
It gives us enough time to call together the Brotherhood.
Ah, oh, Jonathan, we've eaten so many hotel breakfasts. Won't it be nice to get back home to your mom's cooking?
I'm looking forward to it.
Here comes Akiva.
Shalom, good morning, everyone.
I'm running a little behind, eh? Sleep in?
No. I got up before the sun, making all kinds of arrangements, you know.
You've already got a plan for us?
Yes, sir. I got in touch with the Biryar Kurp Church, the one over the well. The priest is expecting us at 6 p.m.
Great job, Akiva.
And this morning, while you're finishing your leisurely breakfast, I'm heading out to pick up a well camera.
Oh, to look down inside the shaft.
You found one.
I sure did. I figure we'll feed the camera straight down and see if we can detect any place that might be an access to a secret compartment or something.
Excellent. By the way, where are you getting the camera?
I called through my contacts and found a man in Afula who's willing to loan us one for free.
That's great.
Kendall, what would you think if I took my traveling buddy with me? We'd have to cross out and back into Palestinian territory.
Well, you've been on a couple of adventures already. Jonathan, you want to go?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We'll see you both when you get back.
Shalom! You must be Akiva.
Shalom, yes. And you must be Ellie. This is my friend Jonathan. We're here for the camera.
Follow me. It's just over here.
So it looks like you guys are doing lots of work around here.
Yesterday, we had our main sewer line back up. And so we had to dig down to the septic tank. You see?
Oh, yuck. That's a stinky, nasty mess.
Aye,
it sure is. Here, you want the clothespin for your nose?
So, the camera?
Well, Akiva, you can see it right over there on its stand. But the probe is stuck inside the septic case.
You mean go down inside all that sewage and muck?
So if you want to use the camera, then you are going to have to be the one to go and get it.
Down inside there?
Now I understand why you're loaning it to us. You You needed some innocent victim to go down and get it for you.
One pair of boots and a rain slicker coming right up.
Disgusting. It was really nice of the priest to let us come down here like this.
Especially with all of our equipment.
I'm sorry. I can't help but snicker every time I think back to your story.
Oh, Dad, you should have seen him covered from head to toe.
For some reason, this is a lot funnier to you than to me.
Oh, Kiva, I'll never be able to doubt your commitment to this team.
Oh, when I get close enough, I think I can still smell it.
You think you smell it? Oi! Okay, guys, enough. It took me an hour of scrubbing to get it off.
And two more just to get the camera clean.
Well, we sure are getting a good picture.
I'm just going to keep working my way deeper down the shaft, looking for any sign of a cavity or door that would conceal the treasure.
This is quite a building, isn't it? Very ornate decorations and elaborate architecture.
It's a pretty common thing for Orthodox churches like this.
So, Dad, if this is really Jacob's well, why is there a church over it like this? It wasn't that way when Jesus was here.
Jonathan! There's no scripture that tells us about the origin of Jacob's well. But we can probably assume he had it dug when he purchased the land here in Shechem, like we read in Genesis 33.
So if the Bible doesn't tell us the story, how do we know for sure that it's Jacob's well?
Well, in John 4, 5 and 6, it records Jesus coming here. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour.
So do we know for sure that this is the very same well?
Well, not for sure, Jonathan, but there doesn't seem to be anything to dispute it. It's in the right geographical location, called Sychar. Further, the Jews, Muslims, Samaritans, and Christians have all called this Jacob's well for thousands of years.
How far down is the water?
The priest said it was about 125 feet deep.
Wow, I can't see the bottom when I shine my flashlight down there.
The sins are coming.
What?
The day of sins.
Oh,
you must hide at once. They must not know you are here. I go back up and smoke them.
Quick, hide the camera.
How? We've got the cable 50 feet down the shaft and the video cart attached.
Here, I'll balance it on the bucket and lower it a few feet into the well.
No, Akiva, it's gonna...
I've done it!
Jonathan!
I'm okay, Dad. I got the camera.
But you're stuck in the well.
When you bumped the camera into the mouth of the well, Jonathan tried to catch it, but the weight of the cart pulled him in.
They are coming. You must hide down.
Son!
And it's so hard to hold on to the rope, so I don't fall.
Come on, help me get him out.
No time. Quick hide underneath the cloth of these devil stands.
Son, hang on, and we'll think of a diversion.
Dad, please, hurry!
Okay, let's move.
Boy. Oh.
Where are they, old man?
Who is it that you seek?
We are here for the Gentiles.
They have to be here. Shimon, point your flashlight down into the well.
Stop!
I knew they were here.
You got us.
So what are your intentions with us?
Time for you to...
What was that?
It was my watch. You see, when we push
some
this
sort
button...
of device.
A detonator?
My friend Jim was trying
it
to...
It may be that these are just radio watches or something.
That's right.
But what if we fastened explosives all the way down this well shaft?
If the treasure's here, blowing this to pieces would reveal it right away.
These guys are crazy!
So are these just communication devices? Or are we ready to blow the well sky high? Your choice. You've got 30 seconds to get out of here, or I'll push this button so we can all find out.
These guys don't care if they blow us up.
Crazy.
Go, Shimon. I will be right behind you.
We'll meet you back at camp.
We have warned you. We will continue to oppose your every move until you are no longer a threat. Shimon, brother.
Dad, help!
Son. Come on, help me get him out!
Roll camera.
Camera rolling!
Hello, this is Chip Slater with Eyewitness News. Just behind me, you can see the tent that Dawson's team has set up here in Shechem. Dr. Dawson, over here. Have you got a moment?
I can't believe you followed us out here.
Sir, your hunt for the treasure was at one time captivating the world, but now many are calling you a fraud.
Just wait. There'll be treasure.
Also, our investigations discovered that you're no longer receiving the type of support you were just a few days ago.
It's none of your business.
Many are saying that if you don't find the treasure soon, your mission may be endangered.
Chip, I'm sorry, but I need to go. You'll see, we'll have that treasure before too long.
So I can see why this vegetable market's a tourist attraction. What's it called again?
The souk.
So, Dad, last night I saw that you were up late reading.
Oh, Jesse, I'm still cramming for the debate. I was reading about how the Lord has preserved his word.
Boy, that's the one thing you always hear from non-believers. The Bible's changed so much since it was first written down.
Yeah, it sure is. But actually, we've found enough manuscripts over time to know that's not true.
So, how did God keep his word pure?
We already discussed how Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, and those were passed down to Joshua. After that, there were specific instructions given in Deuteronomy to the kings that would come later. In chapter 17, verse 17, it says, "And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites."
So the kings were to oversee the rewriting of the scriptures?
Yes. The word was preserved in this manner up until the exile of the Jews into Babylon. And in the time of the exile, some of the Levite priests made copies of God's law to distribute to the other captives.
Oh, I've heard about this. And these priests became known as scribes.
Exactly. Each column on the parchment was to have no less than 40 lines and no more than 60. The words couldn't touch each other, and the scribe had to speak every word out loud.
I even heard that every time they wrote the word of God, they had to take a bath.
That's true. And if they made even one mistake, the entire page was thrown away. And if there were more than 3 errors for the whole manuscript, it was thrown away. And to cross-check every letter, word, and paragraph had to be counted and then compared to the original.
What painstaking work!
Dad, you are not kidding. And the scribes did this all the way up until the time of Jesus. So, that's how we can trust the Old Testament.
Well, what about the New Testament?
Well, Jesse, since the very first time of the eyewitness accounts and the epistles were first written, many copies have been made. As a matter of fact, we have over 5,600 of just the Greek manuscripts.
God preserves his word.
Jesse, Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Oh, it looks like it's about time to meet the rest of the team back at the tent.
Sounds good.
All right, team. It's becoming more critical than ever that we find this treasure. I just heard from my office, and they said that they sense the public opinion's really starting to turn against us.
We tried the tomb, the well,
and the courtyard.
Wait. The courtyard.
We went all through the courtyard.
Okay, listen to this obscure phrase I came across in the second scroll. It says, "the courtyard above."
Above? What does that mean?
We're searching the wrong courtyard.
You mean it's not the courtyard of the temple of Baal Berith?
Ian, what other courtyards still left in Shechem?
The Samaritan temple on top of Mount Gerizim.
The one mentioned by the woman at the well?
The very one. Come on, everyone. We've got one last courtyard to investigate.
Yes, let's go.
Let's do it.
Mount Gerizim has an amazing view of Shechem.
This is an amazing sight.
Jonathan, archaeologists first found a temple built by Emperor Hadrian to the false god Zeus Hypsostis. It dates to a little more than 100 years after Christ's death. But just recently, they found this Samaritan temple built right underneath it.
You can clearly see the layout with this maze of block walls.
So, Ian, you think this is the hiding place of the treasure?
I believe so. The original copper scroll says the treasure's buried in the southeastern corner of the courtyard. It makes sense. We believe the treasure will be the artifacts from the Jewish temple. How appropriate they hid those artifacts in a copy of that temple, the one here on Gerizim.
Dr. Dawson, when was the Samaritan temple built?
It was estimated to be about the 5th or 6th century before Christ.
Jesse, the Samaritans built this temple, many believe under the leadership of Sanballat, the family we read about in the book of Nehemiah. It became the center of Samaritan worship.
There's an account by the Jewish historian Flavius Josephus in which a Jewish priest by the name of John Hyrcanus, a Hamonian ruler, attacked the Samaritans and destroyed the temple a little more than 100 years before Jesus was here.
But for thousands of years, the Samaritans have continued to worship on top of Gerizim to this very day.
Wow. That really sets the background for the Samaritan woman at the well.
Remember what she said in John 4:20? Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and yes, say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. It helps us to see the clear tension between the Jews and Samaritans during Jesus' time.
Akiva, I'm sorry to interrupt, but look right here. I think I'm seeing a clear definition of the southwest corner of the courtyard.
I think you're right.
Mr. Richards, what brings you to the Israeli Antiquities Authority office?
I brought you a document signed by 20 different archaeologists asking you to revoke Ian Dawson's access to the dig sites of Israel.
I think the public will turn on him, and he will no longer be a concern.
And if not?
Then we'll shut him down.
So what are you trying to say, Miles?
I think this is it. They're on top of Mount Gerizim right now. If they pull up the treasure, are you ready to seize it from them?
Miles, you just stick to your job. Let me worry about the treasure.
But what if we're too late?
Trust us. It'll all work out.
Mr. Brennan, do you want me to dig some more?
I just started. Besides, the material's much softer than I would have expected for something settling for so many years. I think we must be down about 15 feet now.
This is so interesting. To be at the very place the woman at the well was referring to.
Jesse, that's how it felt when we were right down there at the well itself.
There are so many great lessons we can learn from that passage in John 4.
Like what, Dad?
Well, Jonathan, we have a woman who's a Samaritan, right? Despised by the Jews. And not only that, she was living in horrible sin. We found out she had 5 husbands and was living with a man she wasn't even married to.
In the eyes of men, she was definitely undesirable, unworthy.
And yet, what did Christ say to her in verse 10? If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
That's when she asked if he was greater than their father Jacob, who gave them the well.
And Jesus said in verse 13 and 14, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
And when she heard that, she wanted the water.
That's when she asked the question about whether they were to worship at the temple in Jerusalem or the one here in Gerizim.
Right. Then in verse 25, she says, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And what did Jesus say?
I that speak unto thee am he.
Can you imagine her shock? Here stood the very Savior they had been waiting for.
Yes. As a matter of fact, it says she left behind her water pot and went running into the city to tell the men. And then the men said, now we believe, not because of thy saying, but we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
What a lesson. Like the woman at the well, none of us are worthy, but Christ offers us living water, water which gives us new life in Christ. All that drink of this water will thirst no more. We receive his salvation.
Hey guys, come here, I think we've got something.
Jim, what is it?
What? What is it?
What is it? What?
I struck something hard. And look down into the hole.
Let me see your light.
Oh, I see it. It looks like some sort of ancient container.
I think we did it. We found one of the treasures of the copper scroll.
You're right.
Finally, great job, everyone.
Shadow, please, be quiet. Martha, thank you for having us over for this.
Oh, Angela, I thought we could make this newscast into a girls' party.
They sure have been gone a long time.
Katie, look, this is it. Oh, turn
Men
it up.
Men are starting to doubt Dr. Dawson and his team's search for the treasures of the Copper Scroll. But late yesterday afternoon, near the Palestinian city of Nablus, on top of Mount Gerizim, they found a cache of artifacts.
Oh, look, there's Kendall.
We found several gold and silver vessels.
Just like it said, we'd find the cold Jonathan. Two of the Copper Scroll.
They seem to be artifacts from the temple.
Oh, Jesse!
And now remember, the scroll mentions over 60 treasures, so this may be just the beginning.
The critics have now been silenced, and now the world will be watching as we learn even more about the mysteries of the Copper Scroll.
Well, so as much as we miss them, it looks like there's even more excitement ahead.
You're right!
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the Treasure of Shechem. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as our team finds itself in a Bedouin camp in Jonathan Park and the Trial by Fire.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.